The Buddha talks about the three kinds of fabrication on two levels. One level is that of karma playing out across lifetimes. Bodily fabrication is whatever you do with your body intentionally. Verbal fabrication is whatever you do intentionally with your words. Mental fabrication is what intentionally you do with your mind. These actions can have influence in this lifetime and also into future lifetimes. So they're very powerful. But they have the potential to be powerful. Then there's the three types of fabrication as you experience them right here and now, as you're meditating. Bodily fabrication is the in and out breath. Verbal fabrication is how you're talking to yourself as you focus on the breath and ask yourself questions about it. Try to come up with answers as to how you can get the breath to settle down so that it's smooth throughout the body. How you can get the mind to settle down so that it's smooth throughout the body and they get together, stay together well. You find the mental fabrication, perceptions and feelings. The perceptions are the labels you apply to things, the mental pictures you have to identify things. Like whatever mental pictures you have about the breath as it goes through the body, where it starts, how the breath is actually happening in the body, what way you can picture the breath to yourself so that it becomes easy to settle down throughout the whole body. And then feelings, feelings of pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. Of course, here you're trying to create feelings of pleasure by the way you breathe, by the way you perceive the breath, by the way you talk to yourself about the breath. So there's a connection between the two levels of fabrication. What you're seeing right here, right now, is the beginning of those larger types of fabrication. If you're going to move the body, you start with the breath. When you're going to speak, you start with directed thought and evaluation. When you're going to think, you use perceptions and feelings. So working on some important ground here, the beginning of all your karma. Now the passage where the Buddha talks about these large frame types of fabrication contains something that's kind of scary. He says you can engage in these larger fabrications either with alertness or without alertness. And either way, the fabrications have power. We know that karma has to be intentional, but many times our intentions are pretty murky. And even though they're murky, they still have power. That's kind of scary. That's something you don't want to miss out on. There's that phrase that's become popular, FOMO, fear of missing out. And it's usually applied to people afraid of not being up with the latest news in terms of tech, in terms of politics, in terms of society. And that's a losing battle because this information keeps running through the net all the time on many, many levels. There's no way you're going to know everything you need to know or can tell yourself you need to know. Which is why FOMO is such a scary kind of sensation. There's just too much information out there for you to absorb and evaluate. Fortunately, though, that's not where the big problem is. When you die, you're not going to be quizzed on how well you kept up with current events in the tech world and the political world. But your future course will be determined by the things you've done. And if those intentions behind what you've done are murky, that's dangerous. That's something you should really be afraid of missing out on. What are your intentions right now? When you do something, why are you doing it? With intention, there's the question, one, did you mean to do it? And two, what was your motivation for doing it? These two things have a huge impact on the karmic consequences of your actions. And for most of us, they're dark territory. When we meditate, we're opening up that dark territory, bringing in some light. Because after all, independent co-arising, we start with ignorance, and then through ignorance, we fashion fabrications. Now, if we can bring some knowledge to that as we meditate, that makes us more secure. Then from there, it goes on to consciousness, and from there, name and form. And again, you have intention in name, You also have perceptions. You also have acts of attention. What are you paying attention to? How are you framing the issue? These are things you should know. All these steps prior to sensory contact are things you should cast some light on. And this is what we're doing as we meditate. As I noted just now, those three forms of fabrication on the immediate level are things you're doing right now. And of course, acts of attention are things you're doing as well. The way you frame an issue, the way you ask questions about what's going on. That can make a huge difference. As the Buddha said, appropriate attention is the most important internal factor for gaining awakening. Knowing how to ask questions in terms of the Four Noble Truths. Where is the suffering right now? Can you detect the clinging? What are you clinging to? And why are you clinging? What's the craving? Is it sensual craving? Is it craving for becoming? Craving for non-becoming? I know you're developing the path to know these things better, so you can abandon the craving and comprehend the clinging. Which parts of the path need to be developed? If you bring that kind of attention to what you're doing right here, then you're really secure. You've gained knowledge about the things that are really worth gaining knowledge about. So you may miss out on all kinds of other things, but don't miss out on this level of what's going on in your mind. This is why when you meditate, we're not meditating only when we sit here with our eyes closed. But you want to be aware of what your intentions are as you go through the day. We meditate with our eyes closed so we can focus on these issues directly, without interference or with minimum interference. But you want to carry that sensitivity into your daily life. And not just a sensitivity, also a sense of what's right and what's wrong, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. So you're not acting on things without alertness. You're not acting on murky impulses, murky motivations. You want to be clear about what you're doing and why. Then you can exert some intelligent control. This issue of what's really worth knowing goes way back. John Lee talks about how when he was first bringing the forest tradition into central Thailand, people would make fun of the forest tradition. Scholarly monks in particular would say, here we are with our eyes open reading texts, and still there are a lot of things we don't understand. But you're just sitting out there with your eyes closed. What can you know? The response, of course, is you know what's going on in your mind. Because the problems are not there in the books. The problems are in the mind. We know enough about the books. It's not the case that the forest monks didn't read books at all. John Lee, in particular, is an autodidact. He actually subscribed to a magazine that was put out by the scholarly monks called Dhammacakshu, which they had sutta translations, articles on the meaning of the suttas. The magazine would arrive once a month. And John Fung said that when the magazine arrived, the evening sit that night was dedicated to John Lee's reading the magazine out to everybody. So it's not the case that the forest monks were uneducated. There's a Mahabhu. The word Maha means that he had passed the first three levels of the Pali exams. Even Ajahn Chah read a lot. But the question is, what do you do with your reading? You just argue about it, have theories about it? Or do you actually use that as a guide to what to look for inside? You can sit here with your eyes closed and not learn anything at all. But if you're alerted to the fact that fabrication is going on, acts of intention, acts of attention are going on, your perceptions are important, then you know what to look for. So when the mind really does get quiet, and there's a tendency to say, well, what's next? What's next is looking carefully at what you've got in a quiet mind to see where there's still fabrication going on. What intentions are holding you here? What ways are you paying attention to what you're doing? So we read so that we can develop appropriate attention, asking the right questions. But we have to get the mind really still in order to see these things directly. Otherwise, our fabrications go on in the area where we're not really alert, and they still have their power. So we're going to be afraid of missing out on anything. Be afraid of missing out on this. Because this is the big factor shaping your life. The steps in dependent co-arising prior to sensory contact. And you see them directly as you meditate. Not that they simply appear, but you're actually using them to get the mind to settle down. You're using directed thought and evaluation. You're using perceptions. You're using your intentions. The things you use, the things you make, those are the things you know best. So when the mind does settle down, ask yourself, what am I doing right now to make this stay? Sometimes in the beginning, if you ask that question, everything falls apart, which is a sign you're not ready for it yet. When things are solid, that's what you're going to be looking for. As for the world outside, there's a lot you can miss out on, and it's not going to make any difference. But what you do inside here is going to shape the potentials you have for the rest of your life. When we die, the impact of our past karma will open up as potentials, opportunities. Some opportunities are pretty bad to take you down. Other opportunities take you up, all depending on what you've been doing. So you want to be really alert to what you're doing, what your motivation is, what your intentions are. So you keep yourself safe. Make sure you don't miss out on this.